I'll take this off when, like, when I surmise everything's calmed down around there. 5, 4, 3. thanks for coming. I'm pretty rusty. I feel like I don't think the last time I read this with you all for Hemingway's, but it kind of feels that way. You know, that was a while ago. So
yeah.
And also yeah, go poetry. Here we are. I'm gonna read 4 poems tonight. The first is about a particular kind of public codependence one might experience. If you're familiar, if you have this too, you'll recognize it right away. If you don't, see, I'd love to chat because you've been spared, okay? At the reading of a famous homosexual poet, I fret over the comfort of Terence, who unfolds across the aisle to my right. I fret over the comfort of Tim, one row in front on my left. And I fret over the comfort of Dylan and Corey behind me, third row from the back. I've brought us here, my students, my boys, their approval, a wig I wear. In his jeans, Oxford shirt, and Yankees cap, D.A. Powell works undercover, a suburban dad, come to penetrate third base, come to perpetrate some poetry, come to play ball and shove us face first, dick down in the dirt. I miss the whole thing with my fretting. Some of you were there that night. I'm sure I fretted over your comfort too. A poem called You Wouldn't Do It. You wouldn't do it. In spite of the bed, the creek bed that is, poured out for us like a new planet, bony and staring, water yet to be discovered. We had yet to be discovered. Small horses escaped. Pooling over us was the homespun sweater of night. Into this I followed. You, who would not slow, turn, do it. Who would not stop abruptly, that I might crash land them. We were Capricorns, and so you would not do it, but would instead plunder the night in slow circles. Me, following and cautioning, following and cautioning, afraid of the dark and afraid of wasting it. At the mouth of the field, we were fishtailed goats, plodding and slick from all the everything but touching. We were women, and you would not do it in spite of the clearing before us. I used to read like my big, loud poems, my big performative poems. We've all come back differently, right? From the pandemic. I cannot muster people. So a quieter McNarr maybe this evening. Vanilla Sky, which is a movie some of you might remember from about 20 years back. Vanilla Sky. The theater, a strobing white tabernacle, the only sign of life for miles. We'd entered in dusk's low-hanging halo and were returned days later, the world woolen over with stars. The Jetta's doors popped the stillness, sucking a seal around us. Your cigarette, a tiny crackling Mars, roving your lips as you drove. White car, black leather, a black road at night. It was January 2nd, 2002. I remember because it was the first time I was happy this century. I'd stopped smoking by then and drinking. I was a new person with lots to say about Penelope and Tom, always roused by couples who could match us. It had been 6 months since our last makeout with those girls in Gowanus, remember? The hot Israeli with the British accent. Birds, she called us, and her disagreeable Long Island girlfriend who whispered, hit me, and we got the hell out of there, howling, thrilled to be us. Sarah, I am still in that car with you, hurtling down Vestal after my first sober movie, marveling at the clear, simple night. My lover at the wheel, your rangy, magnificent arms in that pea coat we couldn't afford, but bought anyway. Best money ever spent. Thank you. That's my favorite poem I ever wrote. The Covenant. The thing is, I wanted anchovies. The only reason to go to Drew's on Ardmore is the Greek salad with anchovies. But in March, I'd met someone, a vegetarian, and we had what we fondly referred to as the covenant. She didn't drink around me, and I didn't eat meat in front of her. Dear God, how on earth do we get ourselves into these things? And out of them and back into them over and over and over until all at once you're 40. Now I am so close to 50, it's just crazy. Until all at once you're 40 and still haven't learned Spanish or how to play the guitar or do a headstand, which are the first three things I'm always going to do this time for real when I break up with someone. I am going once and for all to be alone and do these things. There's this part in Howard's End when Tibby wonders at the quote unquote, haycocks people make of their lives. Well, here I was at Drew's in a haycock, by which I mean another relationship with a perfectly good, gorgeous woman whose only flaw was she was available and a grown-up with a job and her own home. And this ultimately, this would not do. It was July now, and we'd been together for enough months that our covenant, so reverent and tender in April, suddenly sitting there in Drew's, became a noose. The more I thought about that salad without anchovies on it, the worse my neck broke out in hives, inflamed and strangling. First of all, why would you order salad at a restaurant if not for the bacon or anchovies or steak and french fries? Second, fish is not an animal, but we've talked about this a lot, something about souls and eyes. The truth is I really wanted those anchovies. I wanted them more than I wanted her methodical, God-restoring tongue each weekend, more than I wanted her ridiculous granite abs under my palm, her triceps like pulleys in my hands, her sad brown eyes. More than Sundays with Imogen Heap in the red Jetta when she'd shift left-handed to keep her right hard on my thigh, and we'd blast the Fort Pitt tunnel to materialize, a miracle, giddy and dazed on the other side. Thank you. Oh.